The peace and blessings of God be with you on this fifth Sunday of Eastertide, as we also acknowledge that today is Mother's Day Sunday. Blessed are those among us who can wish their mothers a happy Mother's Day, although during this season of COVID-19, it may be by telephone rather than a personal visit. And blessed are we that can pause and give thanks for mothers who've passed on into the realm of God's kingdom, as we give thanks for the legacy of their nurturing care and inspiration. Abraham Lincoln once said that no man is poor who has a godly mother. And given the merits of a mother's inspiring guidance, a Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. Surely many of us, as we've matured through life, have heard of loving advice from our mothers and other women of faith, and it echoes through our consciousness during times of decision. Great is the guidance of our mothers and other godly women whose words have strengthened our resolve to do the right thing and be the best we can be. The spiritual stature of the Apostle Paul emanates throughout his New Testament letters to Christian believers. But on this Mother's Day Sunday, we recognize that, as a side note, threading its way through his evangelistic commentary, Paul honors women of faith who were truly spiritual mothers. In his personal greetings, just before he closes his letter to Christian followers in Rome, Paul writes in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, I send greetings to Rufus, that outstanding worker in the Lord's service, and to his mother, who has always treated me like a son. Who's Rufus, you might ask, for you've probably only heard that name in reference to someone's pet dog. But some biblical traditions believe that Rufus may well have been one of the two sons of Simon of Cyrene. You remember Simon, a traveler in Jerusalem. He was commanded by the Roman soldier to carry the cross of Christ on the last leg of the journey to Golgotha, where our Lord was crucified. As Mark chapter 15, verse 21 describes the incident, on the way they met a man named Simon, who was coming into the city from the country, and a soldier forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was from Cyrene, and was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Tradition tells us that Simon of Cyrene, likely a Jewish pilgrim, became a follower of Christ through this experience with our Lord. At home, he surely told the story to his wife, who was also touched by the Spirit of God. Together, mother and father raised their children, Rufus and Alexander, in the ways of Christ. And by Paul's own words in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, we see that somehow Paul must have become connected with Simon and his wife and their sons, possibly early in his own conversion, and that Simon's wife was one who also nurtured the Apostle Paul in the ways of the Christian faith. For in the New International Version, Paul writes, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me." This spiritually minded woman, whose name is never spoken, was not Paul's biological mother, but surely she was for Paul a spiritual mother, who guided Paul in his transformation from being a Pharisaic zealot who had murdered Christians before his Damascus Road experience, to becoming one of the most distinguished servants of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 10 also tells us that believers from Cyrene, located in eastern Libya in northern Africa, were among those in Jerusalem touched by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Thus, it's possible that Simon and his wife and their sons, Alexander and Rufus, were among those blessed with the tongues of fire from the Holy Spirit, as they also witnessed the birth of the church. Thus, as a footnote to other comments, Paul tells us that a woman of faith, whose name is unknown to us, was his spiritual mother as he matured in the Christian faith. A second worthy side note in which Paul credits women of faith through his evangelistic letters are two women whose names we know, Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy the evangelist. Tradition tells us that Lois and Eunice were women who were deeply devoted to the Jewish faith. Their faith is carried forth to the third generation as Eunice names her son Timothy, which means one who honors God. This mother and grandmother hope that he too will mature into a person who truly honors God. Yet there's one big problem. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 tells us that Eunice has married a Greek Gentile rather than marrying into another Jewish family. In Jewish circles, this made young Timothy an outcast. Yet, as the Apostle Paul gets to know Timothy, Eunice, and Lois while he is preaching in their hometown of Lystra, Paul sees Timothy's earnest spiritual devotion, no doubt instilled in him by his mother and grandmother. Later, Paul takes young Timothy under his wing, trains him, and positions Timothy to be an evangelist. As 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 tells us, Timothy becomes the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and eventually he becomes the city's first Christian bishop. Thus, from our stories today, we've seen that spiritual nurture sometimes takes place in our families of origin when our parents and grandparents are people of faith. We see this with Timothy and his mother and grandmother. Yet Paul also shows us that spiritual nurture is often very much alive in our spiritual circles of faith. This is what Paul must have experienced through his connection with the family of Simon of Cyrene and his unnamed wife, as we've seen Paul call this woman his own spiritual mother. The influence of a spiritual family is so important for the Apostle Paul that even on the three separate occasions in his letters, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, as well as in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and also in verse 18, Paul calls young Timothy his true son in the faith. Spiritual families can inspire life-changing spiritual character in people's lives. And this is what we aspire to do for one another in our spiritual family at Berry Christian Church. From the simple side notes that we've lifted out of Paul's letters this Mother's Day Sunday, we've discovered that in the first century church, there were women who emulated a powerful faith. They were spiritual mothers who nurtured the spiritual strength of some of the most influential promoters of the gospel message, like the Apostle Paul and Timothy the evangelist. We can only imagine what these women did and said every day. But they must have first had a deep understanding of their Jewish faith traditions. They must have also yearned for the hope of the one true Messiah prophesied for centuries. And certainly they rejoiced when they discovered that Jesus was truly the long-sought-after Messiah. We see this rejoicing most certainly in Elizabeth in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. As verses 42 and 43 tell us, she is filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaims in a loud voice as her cousin Mary approaches, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me that my Lord's mother comes to visit me?" Whether they were firsthand witnesses of Christ's presence among them, as was Elizabeth, or whether they were simply recipients of the stories of Christ's presence, as was Simon's wife, Lois and Eunice, these women, so very much filled with the Holy Spirit, became energetic evangelists and teachers of the Christian faith, and they most likely testified through the normal routines of their daily tasks. And so, on this Mother's Day of 2020, what do Eunice and Lois, Elizabeth, and the many other unnamed women of faith like Simon's wife offer us today? They offer us the simple truth that women of faith can be most important spiritual mothers as they profess their faith not only to their children, but to others around them, and that their testimony truly is their own words and actions. So many of us have been blessed by women of inspiring faith, as I've often made the personal reference to my grandmother Henry, who walked and talked inspiring stories of her relationship with our Lord Jesus back in my own formative grade school years. Even though our personal visits were so few I can count them on both hands, my grandmother Henry's Christian witness validated a personal love for Jesus that was informed by the Bible and lived out through her daily witness. My grandmother Henry was truly a spiritual mother. I imagine that many of you can recall the names of spiritual mothers in your lives. Possibly like Eunice, your birth mother is your spiritual mother. Or like Lois, your grandmother is your spiritual mother. Or maybe like Simon's wife, your spiritual mother is a woman within a fellowship of believers, a Sunday school teacher, a vacation Bible school teacher, an elder, or deaconess in the church. When I get to heaven, I want to meet the women we've spoken about in today's message, Simon's wife, Eunice, and Lois. I want to thank them for being spiritual mothers for Paul and Timothy. I want to give my grandmother Henry a great big hug and thank her for being one of my most beloved spiritual mothers, as I've often leaned upon her inspiring words to affirm confidence in the faith. For the women of faith in our fellowship at Berry Christian Church, we thank you. Thank you for being spiritual mothers for the youth and children in our fellowship. And for all the mothers in our fellowship, may you consider it also a great privilege to be spiritual mothers in the way you inspire your children and others in the walk of the ways of Christ. And maybe on this Mother's Day, possibly this is a good opportunity for many of you to pick up the telephone and express a word of thanks to the women of faith in your lives who have truly been your spiritual mothers. Yes, a personal visit, handshake, or hug may not be possible today, but words of thanksgiving are always appreciated. For all our spiritual mothers, we thank you, as we realize that faith in God is the spiritual flower that never withers or fades, but matures with the brilliance of colorful testimony and joy, as we await the day that we'll all be united in God's great glory. Blessings to all of you this Lord's Day, this spiritual Mother's Day. Please remember that we will be informing everyone by email, messages, telephone calls, and letters when it will be deemed safe enough for us to resume worship services in our sanctuary. Hopefully, this will be in early June. We will also convey to you the social distancing guidelines we will strive to abide by in order to offer the safest worship experience possible as the nation opens up from the COVID-19 pandemic. For everyone's safety, we will likely be offering 3 shortened services and will forego Sunday school classes. We will also not be able to offer nursery care during this startup. Help us share the word that our church's food pantry has an abundance of canned and dried goods and meats available. Our food pantry is a no-questions-asked pantry that we simply hope will get much-needed resources out to anyone in need. Simply call the church office at 816 1-800-436-0462 and make an appointment to pick up groceries on a Tuesday or Thursday. In compliance with the essential business order, Carol is still only in the office on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. Katie Turner can coordinate grocery and pharmacy runs for homebound people in the church. Call Katie at 402-202-3229. We continue to be grateful for your faithful tithes and offerings that have maintained the church's salaries, utilities, and other obligations. Thank you. And blessings to each of you this Mother's Day Sunday as we offer thanks for the spiritual mothers among us. For as Abraham Lincoln once said, no man is poor who has had a godly mother.